The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
And I want to talk about the world as we know it. Our world as we know it is changing quickly. It's changing fast. It's changing at a breakneck speed. And before we get started on this thing, if you're watching today by Facebook Live, or if you're watching, listening to the rebroadcast of this on whatever platform you may be joining us from, whether it's on YouTube or Rumble or the website, the app, we welcome you. And if you are able to comment on any of the platforms, please let us know if this is your first time, where you guys are joining us from. We'd appreciate to hear from you as always. So I want to get into this thing. I don't know if you guys have noticed this, and I'm pretty sure our audience is discerning enough to pay attention to how our world is changing. But we already knew that 2022, it wasn't going to slow down, but man, it is picking up steam. It is picking up pace and it is moving quickly. So I want to, if I could think of any verse of scripture that will really kind of give us a foundation of where I'm going to go with this, it would definitely be Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. So if you're watching or listening to this, if you're listening to this by podcast and you're not able to see the visual of this, this is Daniel 12, 4, if you want to follow along with me in your Bible. But for you guys that are watching the visual, this will, of course, be up there on your screen so you can see this. The word of the Lord came to Daniel, the prophet, and told him, shut up the words of this prophecy and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. I want to give you a little bit of a backdrop on this. So again, the Lord tells Daniel that in the time of the end, when the words in which Daniel penned and he wrote down the prophecies that would come to pass in a generation that would be alive to see them, the Lord tells him to shut up the book and seal the book until the time of the end. And when we get to the time of the end, it's going to be earmarked by two distinct things. One, there would be an explosion of advancement of transportation. In the time that Daniel wrote this, men could not travel by subway, they could not go by train, they could not go by automobile, and they could definitely not fly. So how many believes that transportation has advanced? But then he said on the second part, he says knowledge shall increase. It shall explode. It shall exponentially increase. And we're going to kind of tie into that when we get to the latter end of this message. But let me go into what I want to talk about today. We are seeing an unprecedented breakdown of basic services and supply chains that are rapidly breaking down. I want to give you a little bit of an excerpt of Michael Snyder's latest article that he wrote. I'm going to pull some, he gave some resources here and he gave some sources of mainstream media that finally caught up with this. They swept it under the rug for a long time, but now they're actually talking about this. I want to talk about what's going on. And it's interesting, when we posted this morning, the feedback that we're getting on this on our Facebook page is unbelievable. For example, ambulances in Kansas speed towards hospitals and then suddenly change direction because hospitals are full. Employee shortages in New York City are causing delays in trash, subway services, and diminished the ranks of firefighters and emergency workers. Airport officials shut down security checkpoints at the largest terminal in Phoenix, and schools across the nation are struggling to find teachers even to fill their classrooms. Quote, the current explosion of Omicron-fueled coronavirus infections in the U.S. is, again, this is, I'm giving you an excerpt from an article. Don't crucify me. Don't blast me. Don't ridicule me. Again, I'm only reading to you this. I'm telling you, this is what we're being told. This is the narrative. Omicron is causing a breakdown in basic functions and services. The latest illustration of how COVID keeps upending life more than 2 years into the pandemic. And this is not just one little city here, or not just New York, or it's not just Kansas. We're talking about all across the nation. Michael Snyder gives one example in his article in St. Louis, Missouri. One man went on social media and talked about how he had to wait 10 hours for an ambulance to even show up. And once individuals get to the hospitals, often they're not able to even get treatment or treated in a timely manner because there is not enough staff. Of course, quote, hospitals are trying to hire as fast as they can, but finding qualified people is extremely difficult, or they've all been fired. They've been terminated because of the vaccine mandate. For example, one hospital in Nebraska has been advertising for an ultrasound technician for 6 months and still has not received a single application. Let me say that again. There has been an ad put out for an ultrasound technician, and it has already been out and ran for 6 months and has not received one single application. Troy Brunts runs Community Hospital, 25-bed critical access facility in Nebraska, and has been trying to recruit a third ultrasound technician for at least 6 months without getting a single application. For lower-level positions, the hospital competes with the local Walmart store where wages are rising. Quote, he monitors the pay offered by the retailer as well as other large local employers. A hose manufacturer and an irrigation equipment supplier. Now think about that for a second. Though Walmart, a hose manufacturer, and an irrigation equipment supplier are offering higher pay, more competitive wages, and better benefits than a ultrasound technician. By the way, listen, my wife is a nurse practitioner. I've seen firsthand the years of school, the amount of money that had to be paid for the schooling, the years that you go through, all the education you have to go through, and the hoops you have to jump through, and all that just to get that position. To be an ultrasound, again, technician, this is not just a walk in the park. You know, you sign this, you fill this out, and you go through an hour course. No, it is very rigorous. So you would think it would pay pretty good. There are more than 10 million open jobs right now. Listen to that. Over 10 million open jobs in the U.S. today. Now, this doesn't include outside the United States. So those statistics, you guys from other countries listening in, you already know what's going on with your situation. I'm just talking about the U.S. Again, 10 million jobs in the U.S. today. But the U.S. economy only added 199,000 workers during the month of December, falling far short of what they projected. Okay. Hospitals are being absolutely overwhelmed with the sick and dying, but most of those hospitals are now severely understaffed, thanks again to Biden's mandate for healthcare workers. Let's not get confused on that and try to think that this is perplexing on how we're having these shortages. As a result of this, members of the National Guard are being forced to serve hospital duty in multiple states in the United States. And guys, I know for a fact that's happening in my state, in the state of Georgia, because I know individuals in the medical field and they've contacted me personally and told me that that's happening. Quote, An incoming tide of patients is slowly drowning UMass Memorial Medical Center, and the U.S. military's National Guard is working to plug the gaps in wave after wave of daily waves. The emergency crews pull up to the ambulance's bay, dropping off patients for which there is no room. Quote, "It's just the perfect storm for a nightmare here in the emergency department," according to the CEO of the hospital and emergency physician. Again, that's in UMass. So again, let's get this clear. If you show up at your local emergency room because you're dying, you may get treated by a member of the National Guard with very limited medical training. Wow. Now, let's move on to supply chain. The supply chain crisis. By the way, our great chief in charge, our president, said during Christmas, there's no supply chain shortages. Everything is great. Everything is dandy. Everything is wonderful. The shelves are full. The grocery stores are packed. I don't know where you live, but that's not the case for us. And where I live, in the location where I live in Georgia, we went to, and I'm just going to name it, we went to a local Kroger yesterday, or it wasn't we, but my wife went to a local Kroger yesterday. She went grocery shopping, and aisle after aisle after shelf, there was limited supplies or no supplies. In the waning days of 2021, optimists assured us that the computer chip shortage would soon go away, quote, but the numbers are telling us that it has gotten even worse. In fact, the wait time for chip delivery is now the longest that it has ever been. And by the way, if you don't think that's affecting the auto industry, go and try to find a used vehicle right now with a reasonable amount of miles on it and come back and tell me how much it cost. It's unbelievable. 5 years ago, you could have bought a brand new vehicle for the cost that you're paying for a used vehicle with 40 to 50,000 miles on it. Why is it happening? I'm telling you why. Delivery times for the chips jumped in December, signaling the semiconductor shortage is worsening into the new year, according to new research. On average, lead times increased 6 days to approximately 25 and a half weeks last month compared with November. This is the longest wait time since the firm began monitoring the data in 2017. By the way, there's an alarming shortages. Let's get you where everybody's going to be, where it's relevant to all of us right here, right? The grocery aisle. There's an alarming shortages of, and let me just pull this up, guys. I think we have a little bit of info on this. I want to show you this. This is from a UK affiliate, and the bottom one is from MSN News. Meat and egg shortages fears after stores report bare shelves amid Omicron cases. Quote, a growing global potato shortage is affecting French fries from Japan to Kenya. It's across the globe. Several American supermarkets are reporting incidences of bare shelves. Again, I just told you that from my own personal experience. Again, if you guys can comment, let us know what you're seeing where you are in your state. Fears are growing over a, quote, imminent meat and egg shortage, again, amid, you guessed it, the surge in Omicron cases. Food chains have been one of the first to be disrupted by the new super strain as workers are falling ill and productivity drops. And by the way, just to let you know, Let's see. I didn't pull this up, but let me give you this article. Let me give you this headline. And I thought I put this up there, but I didn't. Millions of workers calling in sick in the next 2 weeks because of a super surge of this virus. Now you say, okay, big deal. Well, again, the big deal is, guys, it's only going to worsen the supply.
The Omicron variant may be spreading at the speed of light, but its grip on American workers is slowing down critical services.
We have over 500 employees throughout Baptist Health that have come down with COVID.
At Baptist Health in Miami, some urgent care centers have recently been closed to reposition strained staff.
Is this sheerly a function of not enough people? Is that why you're making these choices?
Yes, we have plenty of equipment. We have plenty of medications. It is a staff issue.
The crunch prompting change in California.
It's major disaster waiting to happen.
The hyper-infectious variant leading to new state rules. Healthcare workers who test positive and are asymptomatic may return to work immediately without isolation and without testing. That switch incensing the California Nurses Association.
I think it's very callous and, you know, it's putting our patients and ourselves in grave danger.
The toll of sick outs on the transportation sector is also getting worse. Portland, Atlanta, and Washington, D.C. have all pulled back on routes, with D.C.'s heavily used transit authority shifting weekday bus service to a weekend schedule to ensure customers have a more reliable schedule. Experts say the ripple effect is enormous.
The fact that the transportation system is so disruptive is really a very significant hardship on the broader economy, because all parts of the economy rely on that transportation network to get us to work, to get us to school.
Parents and students are suffering under the weight of sick outs, too. Philadelphia is shifting nearly four dozen schools to remote learning amid staffing shortages and evaluating others on a case-by-case basis. As the state of Georgia just loosened quarantine protocols for teachers, with more stores posting signs like these, temporarily closed, millions of workers are expected to call out next week because of COVID.
The effect of this has already seen a shortfall of labor, including farms, manufacturers, and distributors, according to the Los Angeles Times. Schools, daycare centers, all feeling the ramifications. In Grand Rapids, Michigan, a grocery distributor there and store operator claimed they have seen a tripling of cases among their staff of the virus, leading to delays and workers who feel stretched thin. Expert studies have shown that this is only going to increase before it decreases. I'm going to pull up. Let's talk about, again, this is eggs, meat. And according to MSN News and the Washington Post, there's a growing potato shortage. A number of items, including this is affecting all across, not just America, but across the globe. Again, I just told you Japan, Kenya, different places. Because potatoes are involved in a confluence of factors. Fuel, beer, chicken, according to one article, is Britain's is seeing a lot of shortages. And again, fuel, beer, and chicken. That's interesting when you go to different demographics and different locations. We're seeing South Africa reporting this. We're seeing, so again, this is a global thing. Somebody say global. This is not just the United States. And we got people on here from Canada. We got people on here all over the place. But then when you include other factors to this, like this, okay, let's talk about this. They are calling this, quote, the Great Resignation. The number of people quitting jobs has hit an all-time high in the month of November as openings stayed near record.
Kelly, a handful of industries are standing out among those where workers are doing the most quitting. A million workers walked away in November from the leisure and hospitality business. Most of those from restaurants and hotels. 686,000 retail workers said goodbye to the boss, and there were great numbers of resignations in healthcare and manufacturing. The general theme seems to be those industries that lost the most workers in the pandemic, they're having the hardest time keeping people. And both leisure and hospitality and retail, well, they're known for being lower paid industries. While there have been raises, they don't appear to be enough, Kelly, to keep workers from walking out the door and saying, take this job. And
so what's going on? It's a mixture. Again, from all the research I've done, allegedly people are quitting one job and finding another job. Yet it's amazing to me. Like, I want to know what kind of job they're getting. I mean, is it just me, or is anybody else curious about what kind of jobs these people are getting? They're leaving because we know what they're leaving. Obviously, they're leaving the grocery chains. They're leaving the retail chains. They're leaving the restaurant industries. They're leaving customer service industries, because I could tell you, they're the basic services. You can't get a haircut without waiting for an hour because of staff shortages. You can't get stuff supplied. And listen, I can't even go buy a pair of shoes because they're probably not going to be in stock because they don't keep them in stock anymore, or you can't keep people to stock them anymore. What am I talking? The world as we know it is changing quickly. And I ain't even got to the worst part yet. I'm talking about the world as in the basic primary functions of what we need to sustain ourselves in life: eating, gas, fuel, work, education, healthcare, manufacturing, all this is changing rapidly. Robots are taking many, many positions. And it's interesting. I want you to remember this date. Ready? 2030. Why do I need to remember that? Because I'm going to show you in just a second. If things continue to accelerate, and what forecasters and economists, and futurists, and many other who makes these predictions about what it's going to be like in the next 2 years, 5 years, 10 years out, you're going to hear over and over again, the number 2030 keeps coming up. And I'm going to show you that in just a minute. And if what they predict comes to fruition, guys, trust me when I say happy days, as ridiculous as it sounds and as ridiculous as it looks and as ridiculous as it seems right now, happy days are here now, because in 8 years from now, if what they predict comes to fruition, it's going to be a whole different world, a whole new world as we know it. A whole new world. And by the way, according to a new report, nearly a quarter of U.S. workers, I believe it's U.S., it could be outside of the U.S., nearly a quarter of workers plan to quit in 2022. So this trend of millions of people just upping, leaving, quitting their jobs is not going to stop. It's not going to go away. I didn't watch the whole thing, but I watched a part of a 60-minute special that came on. I believe it was last night or yesterday afternoon, and they were talking about this very thing.
Workers want better pay and benefits, of course, but they're also demanding autonomy and flexibility, particularly in their work schedules, and employers, large and small, simply have to respond.
I think flexibility is critical.
This is the employees' demand.
The employees, they want flexibility. And if you're an employer that won't that won't work with your employees to be flexible with them, then you're going to be you're missing out. I mean, you have to.
So is it the case that gone are the days where an employer would say, you're just lucky to have this job?
I think so. And I think it's for the better.
The business industry, he said, this has changed so much now that the employers are pursuing employees and employees are no longer pursuing the employers. Also, he talked about how there was a time when the employers set the standard, but now the employees are coming in and making their own schedules. I want every weekend off. I only want to work this certain time. I want to be off for these certain days. I want to have X amount of vacation time, and I want to have X amount of days I can just call in sick, and I want these benefits, this and that. You can take it or leave it, and things are so bad right now, and the employment section of our society, the employment factor of this is so bad right now that employers are agreeing to these terms. I could not believe what I was listening to and watching. What am I talking about? The world as we know it is changing quickly before our eyes. Now, I want to get you to the end of this segment. I want to show you this article, then I'm going to read something to you, and then I'm going to go back to this article. Again, 2030, metaverse. I want you to get used to that term. You're going to hear this term so much, I promise you, you're going to get sick of it. I'm not saying it's just for me. I'm telling you, this is where the tech giants are going. This is where technology is going. Your smartphones are going here. Your social media is going here. Everything is going here. Now, I'm going to aggravate y'all because I want to talk about this. I want to leave this up here, but we're going to come back to it. I just want to give you a little bit of a taste of that. But before we go there, I got to share something with you. Now, we'll probably have a video of this. In fact, I know we will. I have a clip that I plan on inserting into this when we do our final cut, when we release this on YouTube and on Rumble. So you guys won't see the video clip of this, but I'm going to read to you what you're going to see on your screen. The World Economic Forum, get used to that too, made 8 predictions for, guess what year? 2030 or 2030. And I'm going to read these 8 predictions to you in 2030. But I'm going to give you a 9th one, and that's where the metaverse comes in. 2030. You're going to keep hearing me saying this because I want you to remember this. So according to the World Economic Forum, they predict these 8 things will be prevalent in society. This is how our world is going to be changing in the next 8 years. Ready? Number 1, here we go. This is a big one. Ready? You will own nothing and be happy. Now think about it. Why do I need to work? Why do I need to go out here and do what I got to do? Because if I'm going to own nothing, you see what I'm saying here? You can start seeing now where we're going. The World Economic Forum predicts by 2030, we will own nothing, but we'll be as happy as can be. And I'm going to show you when I get to the 9th one, what is going to be the thing that I believe is going to make everybody, quote, happy. And there's air quotations for you guys that are listening to this podcast, because there's a lot of sarcasm in that. The world will probably be happy with this, but any of us that's got a brain and any sense and any discernment, I don't want a part of this. You will own nothing and be happy. Quote, whatever you want, you will be able to rent it and it will be delivered by a drone. Oh boy. All right, number two, the U.S. will no longer be the world's superpower. Shock, right? Is anybody shocked by that? And instead, a handful of countries will dominate, probably 10. I would say, you know why I want to say 10 countries? Because the book of Revelation says there will be 10 kingdoms that will be controlled by the Antichrist, and those 10 kingdoms will surrender the power over to one man in the end times who will dominate and who will lead over those 10 kings. So I'm going to go, if I had to guess, I would say 10 probably. It may start out three, may start out a handful, but it's eventually going to go to 10. Number three, you won't die waiting for an organ donor. Now, that's a good thing, right? Why? Because we won't transplant organs by 2030. We will simply print them.
3D bioprinting is a highly advanced manufacturing platform that allows patients to have a customized organ fabricated specially to replace their faulty ones. This could open a new world of possibilities for the medical field, while directly benefiting patients who need replacement organs. Let me share with you new 3D printing organs technology. This is New Technology Today, bringing you the hottest tech innovation straight to your screen. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the video. And of course, subscribe to my channel and click the notification bell to keep yourself up to date. Number 10, bioprinted heart. A couple of months ago, a team of Israeli researchers presented a bioprinted heart the size of a cherry. The organ consisted of cells, blood vessels, ventricles, and chambers, a first for the industry. The researchers developed a hydrogel from the patient's own fat tissue, reducing the risk of rejection once implanted. The printing process would have taken only 3 to 4 hours. The heart is no bigger than a rabbit's heart, but it's an encouraging start. Note also the results obtained by BioLife 4D. The American company has succeeded in bioprinting a miniature human heart with ventricles and cavities.
Again, what did I talk about at the beginning of this? And knowledge shall be increased. That's what the prophet Daniel was told, right? Knowledge shall be increased. Number four, listen to this. Oh, all you Texans are going to love this. You will eat less meat and it will only be given to you on special occasions because it's for the better of the environment and for your health. So you might listen, for all the people that don't like vegans and vegetarians and plant-based, you're going to really get agitated because you're going to see them push this more and more and more. By 2030, they'll say that meat will be a luxury, probably because it's going to cost so much. Hello, like it is now. That could probably be a contributing factor. But if anything, it will definitely be an excuse to eliminate it. Wow. And did you know in the book of, oh, help me, Lord, 1 Timothy chapter 4, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says in the latter days, it talks about seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Did you know in there that it'll say that they will command you not to eat meat? Wow, it's in there. Read it. It's in 1 Timothy 4. I thought that was interesting. Number five. A billion people will be displaced by climate change. By the way, that's the next big thing that you're going to hear about this year. It's going to get heavy, heavy, heavy push climate change. And it already is, but it's going to get worse. A billion people will be displaced by climate change. And we as a society, the world, will have to adapt to accepting refugees. Why? Because they'll be displaced by climate change. Number six, listen to this. Those who produce pollutants will be forced to pay, and there will be a global price on carbon. Aren't you excited about that? How could that affect us? You'll find out. Number seven, we could be preparing to make a trip to Mars as scientists will come up with a way to keep humanity healthy to survive in space. Okay. Wow. Again, by 2030. Number eight, Western values will reach a breaking point. Now, guys, that's heavy right there. Let me say that again. Number eight, Western values will reach a breaking point. In other words, everyone in America, especially if you're listening to this, it's 2022. Happy days are here and they're now, because I'm telling you, the world is changing fast. And if what they say is right and if what they're predicting comes to fruition, the Western society in America, as we know it, is going to change dramatically. And the America that you thought you once knew is already gone. And that's been a hard pill to swallow. But what we're about to see next is going to be even more tougher to consume and to digest, because the freedoms that we have today are going to be gone. Free speech, gone. Religion and the free speech of religion and what we can do as believers, trust me when I say it will be dramatically different. Can I talk about this for 5 minutes real quick? I didn't have this in my notes, but I'm telling you guys, I speak to pastors, I speak to leaders, I speak to individuals that pastor large churches, small churches. Guys, people are not coming back to churches.
While evangelicals remain an important demographic group for politicians, the percent of Americans who identify with any religion has been on the decline for decades. And a recent Pew Research Center study has found the biggest generational drop-off is with millennials, young adults born between 1981 and 1996.
Corey Marquez is a 34-year-old ordained pastor who left a larger evangelical congregation after he saw many of his own friends were no longer interested in attending church.
When you were talking to your friends about why they didn't go to church, what were you hearing from them?
This isn't relevant for me. Sexuality, that's a big one. Like, the church is not honestly talking about sexuality.
You can ask my wife.
Sexuality is not a taboo topic here. Marquez's fellow pastor, Brittany Barron, speaks openly with the congregation about being a lesbian, and many of those who attend are from the LGBTQ community. The congregation has grown from 20 to 400 over the last several years.
It's less about form and more about content, that people want something that actually matters for their lives. So if the content is literally not healing you, connecting you to something bigger, then you're wasting your time.
New Abbey is one of a number of new religious organizations popping up across the country trying to appeal to young people who are increasingly leaving the religions of their ancestors. According to an October report from the Pew Research Center, 76% of the baby boomer generation describe themselves as Christians. In contrast, only half of millennials identify as Christians. 4 in 10 say they are religiously unaffiliated, and 1 in 10 identify with non-Christian faiths.
You got the amount of people that claim to be Christians or believers is diminishing. People that claim to be of any sort of religious affiliation is diminishing. The people that are now practicing the black magic and dark arts and witchcraft and sorcery is rising exponentially. Occultism rising, witchcraft rising, Satanism rising, atheism rising, agnosticism rising. So you got all these factors that are playing in. So when we talk about Western values as we know it will reach the breaking point, guys, where there is no prophetic voice of the church, you know what's going to happen? We're going to see what we saw in the Old Testament, where the Bible described the culture of that day, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. Why? Because there's no longer a headship. There's no longer a voice of the church. So as long, and I've already made up my mind, as long as we are allowed to have a voice and a platform, we will continue to sound the alarm. I will not water down the message. I will still preach the gospel, the whole gospel, and we will still proclaim the truth, and we will still sound the alarm of what's coming, because somebody has to do it. And I know we're not the only one doing it. There's a remnant out there, and I understand that. And we're going to keep going and keep doing what we're doing as long as we can. But somebody say this again with me. Ready? The world is changing fast. Now I want to add the ninth one here. Again, 8 predictions from the World Economic Forum, but I'm going to add a ninth one. And here it is again. Let me pull it up again, so you guys can see this again. Here we go. Hold on. Sorry, guys. It froze up on me. Metaverse, clothing, travel, plastic surgery. Experts predict life in 2030. What? I'm going to give you a quote. This is from the New York Post. And before we do that, some of y'all are saying, I understand, I get it. There's a lot of people that have no clue. So you're saying, what in the world is metaverse? So let's give you that.
Facebook is planning to rebrand itself with a new name to focus on the metaverse. South Korean millennials and Gen Z are also gathering in virtual alternative worlds. The term metaverse is fast becoming a buzzword in tech and business. But do you know what it means? Here's Reuters' Elizabeth Howcroft.
So the word metaverse is quite a broad term, but generally it refers to online spaces that allow people to interact in a more immersive way than a traditional website. This could be through the use of virtual reality, so wearing a VR headset, but people also use the term metaverse to refer to virtual environments where you have an avatar, a little cartoon person representing yourself, and you can walk around and interact with other people's avatars, like in a video game.
Fans of the metaverse see it as the next stage in the development of the internet.
Your different monitors.
CEO Mark Zuckerberg said in July that Facebook will transition from being a social media company to a metaverse company in the next 5 years. They've already invested heavily in developing virtual and augmented reality headsets and glasses, and will reportedly create 10,000 jobs in the European Union to bring their metaverse plans to life.
We shouldn't really have to physically be together to feel present or collaborate or brainstorm.
And Facebook is certainly not alone. Other investors and companies are getting excited about being a part of the next big thing. The term metaverse is popular in Silicon Valley, with Microsoft also talking about converging the digital and physical worlds.
Because of the global health crisis, over the past 18 months, more people have been working from home and going to school remotely, spending a lot more time online and missing out on human interaction. At the moment, we connect with people who aren't physically near us by going to websites such as social media platforms or using messaging apps and video calls. But now some people think there's more demand for online spaces where people's interactions can be more multidimensional and lifelike, allowing people to immerse themselves in digital content rather than simply viewing it.
There is also a specific type of metaverse which uses blockchain technology, the same technology that's behind Bitcoin. One of such blockchain-based virtual worlds is Decentraland. In there, users can buy digital assets such as clothes and even land using cryptocurrencies. Fashion companies are noticing the trend, experimenting with making virtual clothing, which people's avatars can wear in metaverse environments.
The term metaverse, quote, can be traced back to Neal Stephenson and his dystopian cyberpunk novel Snow Crash. Again, this is from TD.org. TD.org. The novel was released in 1992, and it is considered a canon of the genre, along with William Gibson's Neuromancer, which describes a virtual reality data space called the Matrix. Remember all those, for you guys that are movie buffs, the Keanu Reeves series, you had the Matrix 1, 2, 3, however many, and then it just made the other one. The metaverse in Snow Crash, in a 3D virtual reality space accessed through personal terminals and virtual reality goggles that have a lot in common with the Oculus Quest and other VR headsets. This 3D space appears to its users as an urban environment created along a single 100-meter wide road, the street. According to Stevenson, who wrote, quote, like any place in reality, the street is subject to development. This is a virtual world, not reality, virtual. Developers can, quote, build their own small streets, feeding off of the main one. They can build buildings, they can build parks, they can create signs, as well as things that do not exist in reality, such as vast hovering overhead light shows, special neighborhoods where the rules of three-dimensional space-time are ignored, and free combat zones where people can go and kill one another. If Stevenson's vision of the metaverse seems familiar, quote, it's because massively multiplayer online games share many of its properties. In, quote, Second Life, which was released in 2003, for example, users can customize realistic avatars, meet with, see, and y'all thought all those movies was just entertainment. No, it was conditioning you to accept what would one day become a reality. You can customize realistic avatars, meet with other players, create virtual items, own virtual property, and exchange goods and services. I want to say that one more time. Quote, you can create your avatar. Come on. If you're overweight, you can be skinny. If you're skinny and you want to be muscular, you can be muscular. If you have brown eyes and you want green eyes, you can finally have your green eyes, lady. Ladies, if you have straight hair and you want curly hair, you can have curly hair, and the curly hair can have the straight hair, and the short hair can have long hair. And come on, you can be what you want to be in this virtual world. You can meet other people and you can do whatever you want to do. You can act out your greatest fantasies, your darkest fantasies, and your deepest secrets that you would never carry out in the real world can be carried out in the virtual world. But it gets deeper. You can own virtual property and exchange goods and services. Listen to this. The metaverse that Zuckerberg wants to create isn't some grand virtual experience. It's the next version of the internet. Now let's talk about, now let me give you this quote. This is from the New York Post. This is where we're going by 2030. And if you tell me, listen, if you think that the world is not going to jump headlong into this thing, watch and see. They already are. I know pastors that have already created a virtual church, and they've created their avatars. And don't get me started on that, because I'm going to make some people mad and ruffle some feathers. Listen, I got enough to deal with in this world. I don't need to have drama in a virtual world. Now, let me read this quote. Imagine scaling Mount Everest, swimming with the hammerheads, or skydiving over the Grand Canyon without ever leaving your living room. Now, remember, I'm going to insert this. By 2030, according to the World Economic Forum, you will own nothing and you will be happy. You probably won't have a job, but you'll be happy. How are you going to be happy? Because you don't own anything, because you don't have a job, you don't have a career. Hello, you don't have a life. Why? Because these dummies will be stuck on their couches with a headset on for hours and hours and hours on end in this virtual world. So they won't have any need to go into the real world. They'll probably have to be reminded of when they need to eat, when they need to use the restroom. And by the way, and I can show you where there was two articles that came out that was incredible. One article was they're manufacturing a television that you can now taste. You can lick the screen and you can taste certain things that is projected on the screen. That's just weird. And again, what could go wrong with all these weird things? And the second thing is they're already creating, listen to me, a virtual reality headset where it can be connected to some type of contraption where it can feed you, almost like a feeding tube. Really? Are you serious right now? Again, you'll never have to leave your living room. Quote, all this will be possible in the metaverse. A new level of virtual reality being developed by the world's top tech gurus. Quote, I want to walk through the grounds of Trinity College in Dublin to turn the pages of the book, to turn the pages of this book that I desire. I'll be able to do that in VR, said Andrew Curry, referring to the 800-year-old gospel scrolls housed at Ireland's top university. In its fully realized form, the metaverse promises to offer true-to-life sights, sounds, and even smells. Hello. Where a tour of ancient Greece or a visit to China or South Korea or wherever you want can happen from your home. Curry said, decked out with a full spectrum virtual reality headset, smart clothing, and tactical responsive haptic gloves. So imagine sitting on your couch, you got this goofy headset on, you got this tactical haptic gloves on, you've got the smart clothing, you got all this stuff on, and you're in your living room, and you can do whatever you want to do. The at-home traveler can touch, you could touch certain monuments in Athens or taste the rich foam of a Korean coffee. Now, what gets even more scary? Quote, listen to this. By 2030, a large proportion of people will be in the metaverse in some way or the other. Again, this was a prediction by a futurist in the Future Today Institute in New York City. But here's the scary part, guys. You ready? This isn't just for people. Because listen, can I be honest with you? As an entertainment part of this, would that be cool to do that? Yeah. Would it be cool to go to Mount Everest in virtual reality and scale the mountain? Yeah, that would be cool. Or swim in the ocean or go to the beach or go to some scenic place that you've never been in person. Yes, that's cool. But here's where it gets creepy. Remember where they want to take us is life as we know it, and interaction will be done in this metaverse. Transactions, clothing, travel, surgeries. That's where, again, what are we talking about? Are we going to talk about, is this where a one world digital currency is going to come in? Where you can only make, imagine this, you won't even have to get in your car. You don't have to take a shower. You don't have to get ready for work. You don't have to travel in your car to go to work. You can just get up, put on your headset, clock in, because you go into your virtual world, clock into work, and carry out your functions by moving your hands with these goofy glasses on all day, and you get paid. Come on, through digital currency or some kind of a virtual currency. I don't know where this is going. And all in the luxury of your living room and never have to leave your house. Doctor visits from your living room. Buying a new car. Why would we need a car? Hello? Why would we need a vehicle? When we don't need to get in a vehicle and travel to see our relatives and to see our family for Thanksgiving or Christmas. We can just simply, kids, come into the living room, put on your VR headsets, put on your tactical gear, put all this equipment that you need to go into this virtual world. We don't need to drive 600 miles to see granddad, we can just see him right here. Put on the headsets. Boom. We're in his house. We're at his table. We're sitting with him. We're eating breakfast because after all, you can smell it. You can taste it. You can feel it. It's like you're really there, but you don't have to worry about social distancing. Are you getting it? You don't have to worry about getting sick. You don't have to worry about contacting any diseases. Hello. You don't have to worry about any of that. You don't have to worry about car accidents. You don't have to worry about fuel in your car. You don't have to worry about anything of that. You will own nothing and you will be happy. So, guys, this is absolutely, maybe this is the world that you have always dreamed of. And this is the greatest news that you've ever heard of. But for me, not so much. Yeah, it stinks to drive 600 miles. Yes, I don't like paying that much for gas in my car, but I will take that any day and talk to somebody in real life and encounter real emotions with real people and touch real people and interact with real people any day than over this stuff. Now, and I know people are saying, oh, what about the Bible aspect of this? Let me, again, I want to remind you that I believe with all of my heart, all this is setting the stage for a society to accept lying signs and wonders, howbeit that will be demonstrated through the false prophet, through the Antichrist, all of this. And by the way, could it be, can I just say this, and we're going to end this podcast today. Could it be, in Revelation 13, it talks about the mark of the beast will be either, it talks about in, on. Now, again, different translations say in and some translations say on, but it's either in or on the right hand or the forehead. The right hand, I don't really struggle with that a lot because I could see this with this chip, the inserting of a microchip. We're seeing that in Sweden, different places like that, and that's already happening. But I've always struggled with how in the world is this going to play out with the forehead? Now, I'm not saying this is it, but could it be that somehow this metaverse is going to thrust us in and get us into that position where this somehow will play into the mark of the beast on your right hand or your forehead? By the way, when you put the VR, it goes right across your head and your forehead. Wow, right across your eyes and your forehead. Again, I can't definitively, dogmatically tell you this is it, but I can tell you that, again, we see through a glass darkly. We see in part, we know in part, and it looks to be that we are getting incredibly more and more closer to what the Bible has foretold and what the prophets have warned us about. But again, this is what I wanted to talk about today. And I want to say this one more time. The world as we know it, guys, is changing quickly. And I'm telling you, if there was ever a time that to be on the right side, it's now. And I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about on the side of God, on the Lord's side. If he is for us, who can be against us? Listen, this is no time to be fearful. This is a time to be prepared, a time to be prayed up and looking up, because the Lord is about to return. Endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website. Again, if you've not yet downloaded our free app available on Apple or Android, you can get it today, and it's absolutely free at your Play Store or at the Apple Store. Again, type in Endtime Headlines. If you're listening by podcast, type in Endtime Headlines. Get that app. Hit push yes to push notifications so you can be notified of all of our news, all of our headlines, breaking news, viewpoints, prophecy, messages, our podcast, all that stuff is going to be notified right there in your hands. And you do that by getting the app, and it's absolutely free. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity. If this ministry is a source of blessing to you, information, revelation, equipping, encouragement on a week-to-week basis, we want to give you the opportunity to pray about in 2022 becoming a monthly partner. And we want to give you that opportunity. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app or through the main website, or you can give by check and money order. And you can do that by making that out to End Time Headlines right there on your screen, P.O. Box 1391 Monroe, Georgia 30655. As always, guys, we thank you for hopping on here to the broadcast and being a part of our segment today. We're going to sign off for today. We're going to pray for you real quick. We're going to sign off for today. We'll be back on tomorrow. I've got a message that's not a prophecy message, but I believe it's a warning. I believe I'm going to talk about and expose some things that are going on in the body of Christ that I've seen go on for the last 10 years. And I thought this thing would die out, but it's not. It's continuing to suck people into this. Gullible people are falling for this. And we want to talk about that. We're going to talk about that tomorrow on our segment, on our Tuesday segment. So be watching for that. So in the meantime, we pray the Lord's blessings be upon you. Everyone who's watching, everyone's listening, may God bless you. May he keep you. May his countenance shine upon you. I pray for the protection of our viewers and listeners. May the Lord's angels be with you, keep you from harm, danger, and disabling accidents. I pray for every individual under the sound of my voice, either by watching or listening. If you are away from God, I pray the Holy Spirit convicts you today. You would repent of your sins today, and you would put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Get you a Bible, find you a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, doctrinally sound church where you live. If there's not one available, we welcome you to the family here. Again, you can get tuned in. We have people all over. We have a Facebook page. We have YouTube. We have Telegram. We're on Gab. We're on Twitter. We're on Parler. We're on Getter. We're on all over the place. So get connected to a body of believers if you can. It will be very beneficial to your spiritual growth and your walk with the Lord. So we love you guys. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.